Good morning, Redeemer Ann Arbor. Although we are disappointed that we cannot gather together as a large group to worship together, we are thankful that we can gather in various homes and still have fellowship with each other and consider God's Word together. So I'd like to, in this video, lead us in a brief study of Psalm 46 and point us all as a church to the resources that we have in Jesus Christ. This is a psalm that has sustained God's people throughout very difficult times, and I pray that God works through this psalm in our church as we consider the days in which we are living and the coming weeks ahead. So let me first pray for us, and then we'll look at this psalm together. Our God, we thank you that we still could consider this passage together as a church, even though we are not able to gather at our church building to worship you together. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for all of the precious promises we have in your word, and we pray that these would sustain us during these times. And we pray that you would do your work through the circumstances of our lives and through your word to lead us to find our complete satisfaction and joy in you. Use these times and your word by your Spirit to lead us to life, the abundant life that is only found in Jesus Christ. We trust in you, we know you are in complete control, and we pray that even through this time, through this medium of video, that you would encourage us through the preaching of your word, that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Please come, encourage us now, and direct us to all the resources we have in Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Well, I encourage you at this time, if you're gathered together, to have someone, you can pause me and have someone read Psalm 46 in your group. And then you can restart and I'll lead us in a brief study of this passage. This past Friday morning, Paul W. Smith, the voice of Detroit, was counseling his listeners on how to deal with the crisis, the current crisis in which we find ourselves, and on how to talk to children in light of all that is happening around us. Now, I very much like Paul W. Smith. He may even be a Christian, but in this context of WJR radio, all that his counsel really could be was, don't panic and practice good hygiene. And as I listened and thought of the many other people listening at this time, I couldn't help but think there is so much more that could be said. There's so much more that could be said to people who are facing these uncertain times. There are resources in the Christian faith that will sustain people like us and others around us, in any and every situation that we face. There are resources that have supported God's followers throughout history. These resources have been tested and proved. And these are the resources that we need at this time. We need to turn to the resources found in Jesus Christ, and we need to remind each other of these resources that are only found in Jesus Christ. Now, we could look at many examples of how God has sustained his people in difficult times, but one, before we look at Psalm 46, is from the 1500s. And a man by the name of Martin Luther, the great reformer. Luther came to a point where he was in desperate need for resources to continue to live his life. We may picture him as a man of great boldness who stood up against the established church, but he wasn't invincible. And he came to points in his life where he was brought very low. He had physical enemies who wanted to kill him, who were seeking him out. He had to go into hiding to keep his life. He was accused by the church of being a heretic, a blasphemer of God, and a child of Satan. So he had physical enemies and he had spiritual enemies, and these brought him to a point where he really became discouraged and despondent and was given to despair. So he called these times, when he faced these great difficulties, the dark nights of his soul. The dark nights of his soul, where he was surrounded by enemies and he didn't know if he could continue. One professor describes Luther's Dark Nights of the Soul in this way. One of the most serious periods of depression that Luther experienced came in the middle of 1527. In late April, Luther began to experience some physical problems. Perhaps because of high blood pressure or some other physical problems, he began to suffer bouts of dizziness and fainting. In July of that year, just a few months later, he felt so weak that he was sure he was going to die. Then in August, the plague came to his city, Wittenberg. And soon Luther was the only professor remaining in his town. He wrote to his friend Philip Melanchthon, "I despaired. I spent more than a week in death and in hell. My entire body was in pain, and I still tremble thinking about it." But more than the physical illness, however, or the fear of disease, or the weakness he experienced in his body, there was an additional factor in Luther's depression. He added in his letter to Philip, "I feel completely abandoned by Christ. I labored under the vacillations and storms of desperation and blasphemy against God." So not only did Luther experience physical illness, but he also experienced this spiritual unrest. And he suffered in this condition for weeks until, as he put it in his letter, "finally through the prayers of the saints, God began to have mercy on me and he pulled my soul from the inferno below." And then Luther, after being pulled up from this great despair and depression, wrote this hymn, his best known hymn of the 37 hymns that he wrote, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," a hymn based on this psalm, Psalm 46. And the hymn begins, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." Luther found God as the resource that he needed, God as his refuge and strength in a very difficult time. And we can learn from Luther's example. He had his enemies, his circumstances. We come with our circumstances and our enemies, but God still is the same. These resources are still available. He is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in our trouble. So first, as we look at Psalm 46, first consider with me who God is. Who is our God? He is not distant and far off and uninvolved in our lives. He knows all that is happening, and he is, as Psalm 46 says, our refuge, our strength, and our very present help in trouble. So later in this psalm, the psalmist will describe different problems and hardships and difficulties that are a part of our lives. The psalmist is not unaware of all that can happen. He's not naive or disconnected. No, he will talk about the trials that we can face and the extreme difficulties in which we can find ourselves. But in great wisdom, he doesn't start with talking about our circumstances and our trials. He takes us to the necessary starting point for all of life, in the good times and the bad times. He takes us to the place that we must repeatedly go back to for stability and safety. He takes us to our God, to the character of our God, to the ways of our God. He is our refuge, the psalmist says. He is our strength. He is our very present help in any trouble. So first, he is a refuge. God is a refuge for his people. A refuge is a place of protection. It's a place of shelter. Although a different Hebrew word is used later in the psalm for the word fortress, it's the same idea. God is our high stronghold. He is a place where we can go, a real place where we can go to find protection and security that cannot be taken from us. In the Old Testament, there's the great illustration of what are called the cities of refuge, where people could run to for protection if an accident occurred. And somehow, an example that is used in the Old Testament, someone's chopping wood and their axe head flies off and accidentally kills another man, and then that man's family is out to get this individual. Well, the city of refuge was for that person to run to find safety from anyone who would want to hurt him. It was a place of protection, It's a place of shelter, a stronghold, a place of refuge. So we live our lives, and in a matter of days, we see all these things happen that bring so much change, and we see the instability, we see our weakness, we see our need. And we're not just told, don't panic, this soon will pass. We're not just told, well, make sure you wash your hands and keep a good distance and you should be okay. We are told in Scripture that God is there with us, and He is a place where we can go. He is our refuge. He will protect us. Whatever happens to us and to those we love, there is a God who offers Himself, an all-powerful God who offers Himself as our refuge, and we must run to Him for safety. But secondly, He's our refuge, but also He's our strength. He's our strength. At times like these, we feel our weakness. In uncertain times, both with health and both economically, we do not know what will happen. We do not know how long this will happen, what the weeks before us will be. But we do realize through this, all of a sudden, in a matter of days, if not hours, that we are weak as human beings. And we need some kind of power, some kind of strength from the outside. And God presents Himself to us as our strength in our weakness. He brings us low through times like these so that we will realize that He is the one who is our strength. Now, there are multiple examples of this throughout Scripture and throughout church history, but we can think of many times when people in Scripture are facing persecution or throughout church history, where people are attacked physically by various enemies, and God provides strength for martyrs in the church. God provides strength to face great persecution and difficulty because this is who God is. These resources have been tested. They have been proved. They have supported God's people throughout generations, and today this is where we need to turn to the resources found in God, who is our refuge, who is our strength, who is a very present help in any trouble we face. He's not far off. God is close. We may not understand why these things are happening. We may not understand what is before us, but we have a God who is with us, who has promised to be with us, and is a very present help in trouble. Not just a present help, not just kind of close by, a very present help in any trouble we may face. He says earlier, or he says to his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, speaking to God's people through the prophet Isaiah, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, for I am with you. Here is the resource we have as we face great difficulty. God, the eternal, all-powerful God who loves us with an everlasting love, is with us in whatever we face. Jesus says at the end of His ministry, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with us in this, whatever happens. And we see this in the psalm, as the psalmist says. So first we see the character of God, but then the psalmist says, even if our whole world falls apart, look at verse 2, therefore we will not fear because God is with us. We will not be given over to fear. Even though the earth gives way, even though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, we will not fear. Even if our whole world falls apart, even if we lose everything, we will not fear because we understand the context of faith. That whatever we face, there is a God who is our refuge, who is our strength, who is a very present help in trouble. So our world may fall apart. The mountains may be moved into the heart of the sea. Everything fall around us. But the context of God remains. He is with us as our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. We will not fear because of the context of faith, because of who we have as our refuge, strength, and a very present help. So when we face the difficulties of life, we turn to our God, and He brings stability. He brings all that we need. He is the resource we need. When we face the difficulties of life or we face death itself, we know that God is our refuge, strength, and a very present help in trouble. There's a great illustration of this in the life of Elizabeth Elliot, who faced the death of two husbands. First, her husband Jim Elliot was martyred by Aucca Indians in Ecuador. And then later she remarried a second husband by the name of Addison Leach, and he was slowly, he slowly died by cancer. And this is what she wrote. Everything that has seemed most dependable has given way. Mountains are falling, earth is reeling. In such a time, it is a profound comfort to know that although all things seem to be shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. God will not be shaken. Here's a woman who faced great trial in the death of both of her husbands. But she could testify that even though everything was being shaken, everything was falling apart, one thing is not, and this is what sustained her. This is what brought stability to her life. This is what kept her from giving over to fear and anxiety and worry and despair. God is not shaken, whatever comes in our lives. Now, these things are true. These promises affect us when we find our hope in God. If these other things, you know, we think of our current situation, we think of the economic stability that has come in light of this pandemic, if these things are our gods, if these things are our idols, then devastation will follow as these things are crumbling around us. It will lead to great devastation. But if our hope is in God, even though these things crumble around us, and it does lead to fear, and it does lead to concern, rightly so. But it won't lead to devastation. If our hope is in God, our trust is in Him, we still will have stability in the midst of very difficult times. It will not lead to devastation, but it will lead to salvation as we trust in God and have Him as our great hope, the one who is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Now, the psalmist here is speaking from the greater to the lesser. If these great things happen, if these cataclysmic events happen, mountains falling to the sea and all the earth crumbling around us, there's no reason to fear. Then wherever we find ourselves, whatever situation in life, anything else could happen. God is the same. He is our refuge, our strength, and our very present help in trouble. So we must turn to God. So first we see the character of God. Secondly, we see the character of God even in the midst of difficult situations. Third, we see the psalmist turn to this city that we have, a city that will never fall, a situation that will sustain us no matter what happens. Verses 4 and 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The city of God is the place of protection. Where God is in the midst of her, so she shall not be moved. We're pointed to a place of perfect security. Perfect security because God dwells there. And this city, we see throughout Scripture, is ours through faith in Jesus Christ, and we dwell in this city even now. We experience this perfect security even now. Even now. Because of who God is. This is what we experience now, this security, and this is what is before us. So there's this already not yet aspect to the city that we're pointed to here. We have security now, but one day we will dwell in a place where there is perfect security and nothing can crumble around us. We see this again in Psalm 87, this beautiful picture of a city that God has founded, that is established in the mountains, that is perfectly secure, that God will keep and he will bring his citizens into it, and they will find perfect joy and delight in it. But the psalmist points us to the city because we possess it now, but we will possess it perfectly in the future. So therefore, whatever is happening in our current context, we will not fear, because we are currently citizens of God's kingdom, and there's stability in that. And whatever happens in the rest of our lives, we know that God is taking us to a city that is founded, that is secure, that he will keep forever, a city that will never fall. Then, fourthly, even when every other kingdom is destroyed, we can trust in God. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. So we come, behold the works of the Lord. We see how he has brought desolations on the earth, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear, he burns the chariot with fire. So our response is, be still and know that I am God. I will, God says, be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Every other kingdom will fall. Every other kingdom will be destroyed, except God's. In God's power, he will subdue every nation. And Jesus, as king, will be exalted over all. The powers of earth, as strong as they seem today, will be brought to nothing. And God's real kingdom will last. So our hope and our confidence is not in the kingdoms of this world, not in anything in this world, but in the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. This kingdom will never be destroyed. So therefore, we as God's people, we together, our calling is to do this together, is to remind one another of the resources and the stability that we have through our God. Whatever comes our way, we are in the midst of something now and we don't know what is before us. Our calling is to remind one another of the resources we have in God. Do not give in to fear. Know that God is with us. He's a very present help in trouble. And whatever happens, we can trust in him. Yes, there'll be times of great discouragement. Yes, we'll go through very difficult times, but God himself is with us. So therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. This is the necessary context of faith. Later in Luther's life, as he lived his life and continued to face great difficulties, he would often turn to his friend Philip Melanchthon in the midst of difficulties, and he'd say, let's stop everything. And he'd say, let's sing the 46th. Let's sing this psalm. And the idea being, we need to remind ourselves of these truths that have sustained us in past difficulties, these truths that have brought us out of despair and discouragement. Let's remind ourselves of what we have in God, the resources we have in God. Let's sing the 46th, he would say. And I think this is something we need to practice today. In the midst of all that we are facing, we need to turn to each other and say, remember this. As you worry about your career, as you worry about the economic crisis, as you worry about health, as you, all these things we can worry about, we can turn to each other and say, let's sing the 46th. Let's remind ourselves of our God. He is not absent. He is absolutely involved in this. And as his people, we know that he is working out these things. This is the best possible scenario for us. He's working these things for our good. So let's remind ourselves of the character of God. So therefore, we are in this together. Let us remind ourselves of the resources we have. And let us not give in to fear. Even if all our worlds fall apart, even if we lose so many things, we as God's people, as we see in the psalm, will not fear. We will not fear. The psalm should keep us from letting what-if games go through our heads again and again. What if this happens in the coming week? What if this goes for 2 months? What if this goes for 4 months? What if this happens? What if my economic situation changes in this way? What if this happens? All the uncertainties that are put before us because of what we are facing. This psalm should bring sanity to our lives. And we don't know what will happen. We feel our weakness, but we know God is our strength. God will protect us. God is doing what is best for his people, and we pray that he will use this time to bring more people to see all that we have in him. So we will not fear whatever is before us. And lastly, as we close, we see it in this psalm. We can trust that Jesus Christ will be exalted. We can be still, not given to fear. We can know that he is God. And then as God says here, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. In response to these truths, not only do we not give in to fear, but we give in to praise to the one who will be exalted. These things are true. God is with us. God is close by us. God is supportive, and he is our stability, because through his Son, he provides these things. Even though we are sinners, even though we rebelled against him, even though we continue to pursue our independency, and even though sometimes we serve these other things that are crumbling around us, God is not distant from us or far removed. He uses his circumstances, he uses his word, and he comes to us by his Spirit to bring us back to himself. And through his Son, who gave himself for us, through his Son, who entered into the curse for us, through his Son, we are able to come near to this God and trust in him at times like these. And this is the one who will be exalted among the nations. Because Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and died a death on the cross for us, bearing the punishment for our sins, we can be a people in times like these who are not given into fear, but know that his kingdom will be established, and the king will sit on his throne. This city will come where we will have perfect stability, so we can walk in faith, because these things are ours through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are brought to be citizens of God's kingdom because of the work of Jesus for us, the one who is exalted at the right hand of the God and right hand of God, and the one who will be exalted. My prayer for us as a church, as we face these difficult times, these times of great uncertainty, is that we would be able to turn to each other and say, let's sing the 46th. Let's remind each other of all that we have in God. Let us not give in to fear. And that these times would not, that we would not just be sustained during these times, but in this circumstance, we would be led more to see and savor all that we have in Jesus Christ, the resources that we have, and that God would use us as brighter lights to the world, that they would see, that others would see our love for one another, our love for the world, and all that we have in our God. That God would help us to be still, not fear, and know that he is God, and that God would move us to exalting him among the nations, that Jesus Christ would more and more be magnified in us and around us during this time. May God help us to trust in him and be lights for him through what we face today and what we face in the coming weeks. May we know God as our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble.